Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. They asked a woman, "Why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, 'I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, who was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That's us, isn't it? Wow. Jesus did many other miracle signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Just a short word of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Well, it's good to be back at the Dove. Last Sunday, we were in a service in Canning in Canada, and don't like to say this about the poor chap, it was one of the most boring sermons I've ever listened to. I wish I could tell him, but I haven't got the nerve to tell him. He went on for 3/4 of an hour and he bored me terribly. And I don't want to bore you this morning. David Owen has said to Jonathan, "If you're boring," what does he say? I've forgotten what he said. if you're boring and you don't get people's attention within 10 minutes. Stop drilling. I think that was what it was. Something like that, anyway. I've been quite impressed, really, that God has put on Sharon's mind something to do and spoke quite a bit about Mary Magdalene. And the first point that I have is Mary Magdalene, about Mary Magdalene. And the first point really is bereavement. I've never really considered it before, but Jesus had to deal, after he was resurrected from the dead, with all sorts of situations with his disciples. I've never really thought about that before. And here was one. Jesus risen from the dead in that position, and Mary had gone to the tomb, and she was in a state of grief. She thought he had gone. She'd seen him die. Well, she'd seen him die, crucified, terrible death, and here she was at the tomb, and his body had gone. Where had it gone? She was in a state. And this state of bereavement was changed because she turned round and said to the angels, first of all, as Sharon's already explained, the angels said, "Why are you crying?" They said, "Well, he's taken away my Lord. Where have you put him? So as I can go and get him." And she turned round and thinking it was the gardener, "If you've carried him away, tell me where you put him and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, one word, "Mary." And she turned around and said, "Yeah, teacher, Lord." She realised that was Jesus. And the point being is this, in bereavement, who was the person that changed that bereavement into a victory, something different? It was the fact that Jesus was there. He was the one. And we know that in Hebrews it says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." God will never leave us or forsake us. Now that might be in bereavement, it may be in other situations, but this was a state that Mary was in, bereavement, and she turned and Jesus was there. And the answer, the simple answer is to us today, whatever state, if it's bereavement, turn and Jesus will be there with you. That's my first point. My second point is this: disappointment. Two disciples were fed up, basically. They were going home. They were on the way home. They had been told that Jesus had risen from the dead, but they were on her way home. They were disappointed. They felt that the whole lot had collapsed. And they said, as they went along, because Jesus drew near to them, you know the story. They were on the way to Emmaus, and Jesus came alongside them, discussing what happened. And they had said, "We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." And Jesus continued walking alongside them and explained to them the scriptures. And they said, "Well, why did our hearts burn within us?" Because he explained the scriptures so well. We have never understood that. And of course, you know what happened. That when they said to Jesus, "Come, stay with us that night," and they had a meal, and as he broke bread, their eyes were opened and they saw that it was Jesus. Disappointment in life. There's so many things that can disappoint us. And when Jesus stands by our side of us, it makes all the difference when he comes alongside, walking and explaining things. Disappointment. Thirdly, Sharon just read this in John 20, verse 19. "On the evening of that first day of the week, the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews." John 20, 19. For fear of the Jews. They were in fear of their lives. Total fear. Because their leader, Jesus, had been crucified. Who was next? Weren't they thinking who was next on the list? The authorities would come and get them. They were frightened of the authorities, which you can't blame them. But the total fear. I don't know whether you've ever been in a situation of total fear. It's scary. I won't say this was total fear, but we were landing in Halifax on our way after a very difficult journey, which I won't go into, and the plane was literally going like this. And I'm not joking, it was going like that. And we were near the ground, and I'm thinking, will he get this thing down? It wasn't total fear, but it did go through my mind, we might just not make this. And I'm sure if anybody's flown, the situation can be like that. But there was very high winds, and I'd like to thank that pilot because he got it down. But you did wonder whether you're going to get it down. Fear. And you know, in life, there can be many things that we fear. And the disciples here were in fear of the authorities, that they were next on the list. And Jesus comes into that locked room and stands beside them, and he says, "Peace be unto you." The peace that comes with Jesus' presence was so amazing that it dispelled their fear, and they were able to carry on. The fear and the answer is the presence of Jesus. Fourthly, John, and again, Sharon read this in the end of chapter 20, doubt. The situation was difficult. Was this really the Redeemer? Thomas expressed it and said, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. He doubted the whole thing. Everything that Jesus had taught him, everything that he'd gone through, everything that he'd seen, every miracle, and yet here he was doubting. Was it really true? Was this really the end? What was happening? They told him Jesus has risen from the dead, but he would not believe it. He said, unless I put my fingers in the nail prints and my hand inside, I will not believe. And of course, Jesus appears in that room. And isn't it marvellous? He said to Thomas, come on, put your finger here, in my hand, my side. He didn't have to. He believed because he just saw the very presence of the Lord. It gave him renewed assurance. The presence of Jesus made all the difference. And the same with us. I know that we all can go through a period of doubt. I think, Barbara, you went through a period of doubt, didn't you? And how you came through in your testimony. And it was really to do with the presence of Jesus and him working in our hearts. He will bring us through every doubt. His presence gives fresh assurance. Fifthly, backsliding. We read in John 21, verse 3, Peter said, I'm going fishing. Blow everything else, I'm going fishing. And three or four of them said, we'll come with you. Well, Jesus had told him and called him to be fishers of men. But he thought the whole lot was, I don't know whether he thought it was gone or what he thought, but he said, I'm going fishing. It was going back to what he was originally. Going back. It was backsliding. We should never go back to what we were. We need to go forward. And Peter said, I'm going fishing. And then the marvellous way which Jesus deals with this situation teaches us that he will deal with our backsliding if we are in that situation. He will deal with. He said he met them on the shore, and they said, we've been fishing all night, we caught nothing. He said, well, put your net on the other side. And they do, and they caught, you know the story. There were that many, the net broke, and one of them said, it is the Lord. And Peter got out of the boat and went to meet. And Jesus there on the shore had met these backsliding disciples going away, going to their old jobs, with breakfast. Beautiful breakfast. He cooked breakfast for them. Now, what love is that? In his risen state, he'd cooked breakfast. And then after breakfast, he said to Peter, "Do you love me?" And of course, you know the story how Peter said three times, Jesus asked him three times, and each time he said, "Yes, I love you." And it's a message in itself. I won't go into it, but the thing is that Jesus brought the disciples back to where he wanted them to be, as fishers of men, not fishing for the living in that sense. He had made them breakfast, and he recommissions Peter in that point, at that time. Sixth point, never had so many points, you'll never remember them. It came to the end when Jesus was just about to go back into heaven, and he commissioned, I've called this the commissioning. He was going back to heaven. The disciples needed direction of what to do, and Jesus was about to leave them, and his command was this: "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end." Jesus commissioned them, the ones that had been in such a state after the resurrection. Jesus commissions them to go and do a job. And he does the same with us. That is our work now, to spread the gospel. And the final point that I have is point seven, and that is blessing. When Jesus had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them, and they continued to worship him. Very simple message this morning is bereavement. Are you going through a bereavement? Jesus is there. Turn and he will give you that peace in that situation. Disappointment and discouragement. Are you in that situation this morning? Jesus will make the difference. Are you fearful of what may go in the future? Jesus comes and he says, "Peace be with you." Are you doubting? Jesus will give you the assurance that you need if you come to him. Are you backsliding? Jesus will tenderly bring you back if you're willing. And the commission to go and preach the gospel, and the final blessing that Jesus gives, the resurrection, the most marvelous thing that ever happened in the world. And Sharon's already said it, if there was no resurrection, we have nothing. I am wasting my time here this morning if there's no resurrection. It all hinges on that resurrection day when Jesus was raised from the dead. May he bless us all as we seek to serve him. And as we sing our final hymn, "I serve a risen Saviour, he's in the world today." That's who we serve, a risen Saviour. May God help us to do that.